B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Rosh Tainis Daf Yud. We're going to start the very top line. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Eretz Yisrael Nivreis Tchilo. The first thing, the first land Hashem created was Eretz Yisrael. V'chol o'ilam kulei nivro l'besoif, and only after that Hashem created the rest of the world. Shenemra, as it says in the Pasuk, in Mishli, Adle Oso Eretz V'chutzois V'roish Afreis Tevil. It first mentions that Hashem created Eretz, which is referring to Eretz Yisrael, and only afterwards, V'chutzois, it mentions, so to speak, the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, which is the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael, another detail in the Braisa is Eretz Yisrael, Mashka Oisa Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmoy, that Hashem waters Eretz Yisrael himself, so to speak, V'chol O'ilam Kuli Alidei Shliach. However, the rain that comes to the rest of the world is, so to speak, given to us via an agent, Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk in Iyov, Hanoisein Motor, Hashem himself gives rain al Pnei Oretz to the face of Eretz Yisrael. V'sheileach Maim, and he sends water al Pnei Chutzos to those outside Eretz Yisrael. Another detail, Eretz Yisrael, Shoisa Mega Shomim, Eretz Yisrael actually drinks from the pure and original rainwater. V'chol o'ilam kuloi, and the rest of the world, mitamtzis, only gets the leftovers of the rain. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Hanoisein Motor al Pnei Oretz, that very same Pasuk in Iyov, that Hashem gives Motor, the rain, to Eretz Yisrael. V'sheileach Mayim, however, to the rest of the world, it's not Motor, it's just water, and water is just the remnants, the leftovers of the rain. Another detail, Eretz Yisrael shoyset tchila, Eretz Yisrael gets watered the first. V'chol o'ilam kulei lebesoif, and the rest of the world gets the rain after Eretz Yisrael. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, again the same Pasuk. First, Hanoisein Motor al Pnei Oretz, Hashem gives the rain to Eretz Yisrael, and only afterwards, v'sheleach mayim al Pnei Chutzos, that the rest of the world, the Chutzos, those outside Eretz Yisrael, get watered. Moshe le'odom, this is a parable to somebody, Shemegabel es agvino, he's kneading the cheese, and Noitel es oichel, he takes the solidified cheese from the milk mixture, Umaniach es apseiles, and he just leaves the more inferior watery part of the milk, he gets left over, and so too with the rain, Eretz Yisrael gets the original, the real rain, and only afterwards the leftovers is given to the rest of the nations. Continues the Gemara Omar Mar. We saw on Daf Tes Amud Beis that the Gemara asked a question that according to Rebbe Eliezer, who says that the rain comes from the oceans, so Rebbe Yeshua asked Rebbe Eliezer, how can it be? The ocean water is salty, and the rain is not salty. If it was salty, nothing would be able to grow. And Reb Eliezer answered that the clouds, they sweeten the water, even though they originate from the oceans, which are salty, the clouds sweeten it. So Omar Mar, Mamaskin Hein Ba'ovin Minole. How do you know, Reb Eliezer, what would be your source that the clouds actually sweeten the water? Answers the Gemara, Da'om Reb Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Omar Reb Yechanon, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, and we saw this on Daf Tes. There's one pasuk that says, "Yoshes choishech sisrei sivoysov sukosoi cheshchas maim." The darkness of the water is ovish chokim, is the thick skies. It's the thickness of the skies, the thick clouds in the sky. Or save in a different pasuk, it doesn't say cheshchas maim, which is the darkness of the water. It says chashras maim, which chashras means like a sieve. The sieve, like the water that comes like from a sieve, of Ishchokim, is the clouds of the sky. So in one pasuk it says chesh chas, which is with a chof. In another one it says chashras with a resh. So the Gemara says shkoil kaf, take the chaf of chesh chas, v'shodi, and throw it or put it a resh next to the resh of chashras. The kori ben, you'll read it hachshoras. And then it would mean that Hachshoras Maim, the Ovish Chokim, it's the clouds, which Hachshora is from the term of preparing. The clouds prepare the water. What do the clouds do to the water? They sweeten the water. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua Bahani Kroi Mai Dorishbu. According to Rabbi Yeshua, who he doesn't have this issue. Rabbi Yeshua says that the waters actually came from the Mayim Elyonim. The rains don't come from the oceans. So he doesn't need these psukim to tell us that the clouds actually sweeten the water, because there's the waters of the upper waters, which is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the origins of the rain, they were not salty. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, what does he do with this issue of having the cheshchas and the chashras? Answers the Gemara that from the first pasuk of Cheshchas Mayim, the darkness of the water, he learns as follows. Sova lo ki ha'aduchi osar Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came to Bovel, Omar, he said as follows. Omri b'marovin, marovin Eretz Yisrael, they explained that Nohoir Anoni, when the clouds are light, Zi'irin Moihi, then the waters inside those clouds are minimal. Choshuch Anoni, when the clouds are dark, then Sagyun Moi, there's an abundance of water in it. So from the Cheshkas Maim of Ishchokim, he learns that from the darkness, depending on how dark or light the clouds are, one can tell how much water is in it. That's what he does with the Cheshkas. What does he do with the Chashras Maim? So that the Gemara here doesn't tell us, and Rashi here discusses that. And Rashi says that if you look in the Gemara early on, we see that Rabbi Yeshua learns from the Chashras that the clouds are like sieves. They receive the water from the Mayim Elyonim, and then they get sprinkled onto the land. Continues the Gemara. Kaman oz leho de Tanya, which opinion of the two opinions we saw earlier on? We saw on Daf Tes Amud Beis that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the rain originates from the oceans. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it originates from the upper waters. The following braisa that says, Mayim Elyonim, the upper waters, b'mamarim tluyim, they're not held and they're not suspended in any utensil or anything that can contain them. They are held by Hashem's word. Hashem says the waters should stay up here, and they stay up there. Upeirei seyem, and the fruits of those waters, megashomim, is the rain. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, mashke horim me'al yosov, that the mountains get watered from the upper chambers, miprima secha, from the fruits of Hashem's deeds, tisbaoret, the land gets satisfied, gets watered. So you see from there that the rain is only a peiros, it's only the fruits, the offspring, so to speak, of the huge collection of water in the Mayim Elyonim. So this braisa, who is that following? Kaman k'Rabbi Yeshua, it's following Rabbi Yeshua, who says that indeed the rain comes from the waters in the upper waters, not from the oceans. V'Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that all the waters come from the ocean, what does it mean, miprima sechot tizbahoretz, that it's coming from the fruit, so to speak, from the something that comes from a huge collection of water? According to Rabbi Eliezer, what would that mean? He says that it's the ocean is evaporating and then it becomes rain. Says the Gemara, "Hu b'maisa yodov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu dechsiv," is not referring to the, so to speak, the fruits of the water. That means the something that's coming from the waters up there. No, it's talking about Hashem's deeds, the fruits of Hashem's deeds. The ocean is also the fruits of Hashem's deeds, and therefore the rain originating from the oceans are also considered prima sechot tizbah haaretz. Continues the Gemara, Omre Yeshua ben Levi, Kol ha'olam kulo mitamtzis gan Eden hu sheisa. The whole world is drinking from the leftovers of what Gan Eden drinks. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'nohor yoytze me'Eden, river went out of Eden, l'hashkoi ses ha'gon, in order to water the garden, u'mishom yiporeid v'ori l'arboroshim, and from there it separated into four, and then at some point the rest comes down to the world. Tana, we learnt in a braisa, mitamtzis beis kur, from the leftovers, so to speak, of a huge container which can hold a kur, shoyse tarkav, which means the water that's left on the inside edges of a huge beis kur is enough to be able to water a tarkav, an area of 3 kav, which is 1/60 of a beis kur. So which means that the leftovers are normally the size of 1/60 of the original quantity. Tanu Rabbanan, we learnt in a braisa, Eretz Mitzrayim, Havya Dalad Meis Parasa, Dalad Meis Parasa. Mitzrayim was 400 parasa square by 400 parasa, which is 160,000 square parasa. Vahu and Mitzrayim is Echod Mishishim, but Kush is 1/60 of Kush. So Kush must have been 9,600,000 square parasol. The Kush, echod mishishim ba'olam. And Kush is a 60th of the whole world, the world being 576 million square parasol. Va'olam, and our world is echod mishishim, is a 60th of the garden mentioned in the Torah, began. Vegan, the garden, echod mishishim le'eden, is a 60th of Eden. Ve'eden u echod mishishim le'gehenim. Gehenim is 60 times greater than Eden. Nimtza. So it seems from here, and it's apparent from here, that kol olam kuloi, the whole world, relative to Gehenim, is a very, very small ratio. Kukisui kedera le'gehenim, in the same way as a lid of a pot is relative to the size of the pot is very small, so too the ratio of the world relative to Gehenim is a very small ratio of it. V'yesh oimrim, some say Gehenim ein lo shir, that Gehenim actually has no measure. V'yesh oimrim, others say Eden ein lo shir, even Eden has no measure. Omer Rabbi Yishya says Ma'idich siv, this that it says in the pasuk Sheichant. You dwelled al ma'im rabim, on many waters, rabas oitzoris, an abundant of storehouses, bo kitzeich amas bitzeich. That's what it says in the pasuk. So how is Rabbi Yishya learning this? Mi goram lebovel, who caused bovel, shiyu oitzoriseo meleo yisbar, that its storehouses are full of grains, havoimer mepnei shesheichenes al ma'im rabim. So referring to Bovel, Bovel dwells, sheichant al ma'im rabim, on many waters, and that's the reason that rabas itzoris, that there's an abundance of storehouses of grain. Omar Rav, Rav said, atira Bovel, Bovel is very rich, dechatzda, because when they are able to reap the produce, bloimitra, even without rain. Because we know that Bovel is very low down, and all the rains from all the surrounding countries and places flow down to Bovel. So Omer Abaya says, Noktinon, we have a tradition that Toivoni v'lo yuvshoni, that Bovel is very swampy and doesn't dry out, is not dry. Continues the next Mishnah. Begimel b'mar Cheshvan, on the third of Cheshvan, Sherlin es hagashomim, that's when we start asking Hashem for rain in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, we say the same talumotor livracha. Rabbi Gamliel said that b'shiva boy, it's on the seventh of Mar Cheshvan that we start asking for rain, and the seventh of Cheshvan is Tesvav Yoim Achar Achag, especially with the calendars today. The seventh of Cheshvan is always 15 days, 2 weeks after Sukkos, Kedei Sheyegia Achrin Shebiyisrael, in order that the last person, the one living furthest away, Lenahar Paros, near the river Paros, would be able to go back from being in Eretz Yisrael over Sukkos and arrive back home before the rain starts coming down. Says the Gemara, Omer Rebbe Loza, Halacha Kriben Gamliel. We've already seen this on Daf Dalad and Davov. Rebbe Loza said the Halacha is like Kriben Gamliel, that we start saying the same talumota on the seventh of Cheshvan. Tanya Chananya Oimer ubegoyla, in the diaspora in Chutz Laaretz at shishim betkufa. The time to start asking for the rain is the 60th day of the winter season, and this is the seasons that are not measured or not counted by the lunar months, rather the solar year, the sun year is split into four, each season being approximately 90 days, the 60 days into the winter tkufa, that is where, which is sometime in November, which is when we start saying the same talumotor in Chutz Laaretz. Omer Avuna Bar Chia, Omer Shmuel, Halocha Kechananya, the Halocha is like Chananya. Asks the Gemara, Eini, Vaboy Menei Shmuel, did they not ask Shmuel, Ma'imas Matcherinon, when do you start saying the same talumotor? Omer Luhu and Shmuel said, Michi Ma'ayla Tzivi, from the time where they would bring the wood, lebei tovus, to the sheds of tovus, Rishba the bird hunter, because they knew and they understood that from that point on, the rain would start coming down, they would no longer be able to chop the wood, and therefore they would take the wood they've chopped and put it into the sheds. So you see that they would say with Saint Talumotor from the point when they would bring the woods into this person's sheds, not 60 days into the season. Answers the Gemara, Dilma Aida Vaida Chad Shurahu. Maybe both of them is the same date. Maybe it was 60 days into the season that they would bring the woods into the storehouses. Iboilu, Gemara asks a question. Yom Shishim, when it says that we start saying the same Talumotor 60 days into the winter season, is that the 60th day itself, kelifnei shishim, is it still like before the 60 and you don't yet mention v'sein talu motor? Or kelachar shishim, was it after the 60 days and you do say v'sein talu motor? Says the Gemara Toshima, Rav Omar Yom Shishim Kelachar Shishim. Rav says you start saying the same Talmud Motor on day 60. Shmuel Omar Shmuel said no. Yom Shishim Kelifnei Shishim. The 60th day is like before. You only start saying the same Talmud Motor on day 61. Omer Rav Nachman Ba'Yitzchok said, how are you going to remember who said what? How are you going to remember that Rav said that you say v'sein talu motor a day earlier and Shmuel a day later? V'simonoch, the sign you can have to remember that is Eloi, Rav, who came from Eretz Yisrael, he came from highlands, from places which are high, and therefore, boy or Maya, they need the water quicker, and therefore you start saying Rav, who came from there, started, say, asking for the rain a day earlier. Tatoi, but Shmuel, who came from Bovel, who was in the lowlands, Loi Boy and Maya, they did not need the water, and therefore they would start saying Hussein Talu Motor a day later. And there's a discussion in the Mefarshim why the place where Rav is living should make a difference to what his opinion is about the people in Bovel when they should say Hussein Talu Motor, but this is a basic reading in the Gemara. Omer of Papa, Hilchus Adalocha is Yom Shishim Kalachar Shishim. We actually start saying Hussein Talu Motor on the 60th day of the winter season. Continues the next Mishnah. Higio Yud Zayin b'Marcheshvan. If the 17th of Marcheshvan has arrived, v'layordu geshomim, and the rains have not yet fallen, hischilu hayechidim, the individuals, we'll soon see who they are, they are misanim gimel tainyos, they fast for three consecutive tanesim, being a Monday followed by a Thursday followed by a Monday. And on those tanesim, oichlin v'shoisim ishechashecho, they would only fast during the day, not during the night. Umutorin b'malocha, they were allowed to do work, b'urchitza, they were allowed to wash themselves, bathe themselves, b'sicha, and to anoint themselves, b'ni'ilas sandal, to wear shoes, b'tashmish hamita, and to have marital relations. Higia rosh chodesh kislev, if you're ready, a few days later already, it's not anymore the 17th of Cheshvan, it's already the rosh chodesh kislev lo yardu gushamim, and the rain has still not come down, then Beis Din gozrim sholosh taniyos al hatzibur. Now the Beis Din decree that everybody has to fast, oichlin v'shoisim mishechashecha, you can eat and drink during the night, the fast is only during the day, umotorin b'malocha, uberachito, basicho, benila sasandlo, betash mishamito, like we saw before, the conditions are the same, but it was on the Yud Zayin Cheshvan, which is when the yechidim, the individuals, would fast, and it's from Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which is when the tzibur, the public, would have to fast. Asks the Gemara, man yechidim, who are these individuals that would volunteer, so to speak, to fast earlier than everybody else? Omer Avuna Rabbonon, it's the Talmidei Chachomim. V'omer Avuna, another statement Rav Huna said, Yechidim misanim shloisha tanyos, that these individuals, they would fast three tanyos, which is exactly what it says in the Mishnah. Just Rav Huna added, Sheini v'chamishi v'sheini, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Asks the Gemara, Maiko mashmalon, what's Rav Huna trying to impress on us? That one has to fast, Sheini v'chamishi v'sheini, Tanina. We already see in the Mishnah, it's explicit in the Mishnah later on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, that Ein Goizrin Tainis Al HaTzibur, that when the tzibur and the public make a fast, betchila, the first of the three fasts, should not be b'chamishi on a Thursday, shelo lafkia es ha'sha'orim, in order not to cause the prices to rise. Because if the shopkeepers see that on Thursday afternoon, suddenly everyone is buying twice as much as they normally do. They normally buy for Shabbos, here they're buying twice as much. And really, why are they buying it? They're buying it because it's a fast, and at the end of the fast, they're hungry, they want to have a big meal. The shopkeepers might think there's a shortage of food, there's a hunger, a famine, and they're going to raise the prices. And therefore, the first of the fasts should not be on a Thursday. So you see clearly that even though the Mishnah there mentions Al HaTzibur, but the Gemara at this point is asking that it says explicitly in the Mishnah, you don't start a fast day, a series of fast days, on a Thursday. So what's Rav Huna coming to impress on us? Says the Gemara, Elo Sholish Tainius Harishonis. Indeed, what Rav Huna is trying to impress on us is that what the Mishnah says regarding the fast days of the public, the same applies to the Yechidim. Rav Huna said, "Yechidim misanim." Even when the private individuals fast, shloisha taniyos, it should be Monday, Thursday, Monday, not starting from Thursday. Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Ma'odetem, I would have thought, hanimili tzibur. That when is the concern of the prices raising, which the Mishnah speaks about on Daf later on. On Daf Tezvov, that it's only when the public are fasting. Aval yachid loy, but maybe when individuals are fasting, maybe we don't have an issue with that. Komash malon, that is what Rav Huna is teaching us, that even when the private people, individuals are fasting, the first of the three fasts is a Monday, not a Thursday. Tanya nami hochi, we have a braisa to this effect. Kesheschilu ayichidim lesanus, when the individuals start fasting, misanin sheni vechamishi vesheni, they fast on a Monday, then a Thursday, then a Monday. Umafsikin baroshi chadoshim, if any of those fasts are on Rosh Chodesh. And the Meforashim discuss how it could be a Rosh Chodesh if the first fast is following the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. How do you get to Rosh Chodesh? The Meforashim discuss that. But either way, if one of these fasts falls on a Rosh Chodesh, Ubi Yomim Tovim Aksuvim B'Megillas Tainis, or on one of the Yomim Tovim that the Megillas Tainis dictates, one's not allowed to fast on them, then those days override the fast days, and one doesn't fast on those days. So either way, you see in this braisa proof to what Rav Huna said, that when the yechidim are misaneh, even though it's just the yechidim, it's sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, and they don't start on a Thursday. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Al yoimer odom, a person shouldn't say, Talmid ani, I'm just a student, I'm just a disciple, and therefore it's not appropriate for me to follow the custom of those individuals, those Talmidei Chachomim who would fast already from the Monday after the 17th of Cheshvan. A person shouldn't say that. Yochid, I'm not deserving to be similar to those individuals. He shouldn't say that. Elo kol Talmidei Chachomim Yechidim. Any Talmid Chachom is allowed to and is included in this, in the individuals, and is allowed to fast already from the first fasts. Eizehu yachid ve'eizehu talmid. What indeed is the accurate description of who are these individuals and who are the talmidim? So yachid, who are the yachidim? Kol sheroi limenoisei parnas al hatzibur. Anyone who's worthy, who's fit to be appointed to be a leader on the public, he's called the yachid. Talmid, who's the Talmid? Is kol she'er linoisei dva halocha b'limudoi. Anyone you can ask him any halocha in what he's learning, b'talmudoi v'oimer, and he will answer, v'afilu b'masechta dekala, and even in maseches kala, which is not something a person learns often, then if he can answer that, then he's considered a Talmid. And the Braisa said before that a Talmid, even a Talmid is allowed to include himself in the bracket of the Yechidim to fast on the Monday, Thursday, Monday after the 17th of Cheshvan. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Loi kol ha'roitze la'asis atzmo yochid oisa. Not anybody who wants to include himself in the brackets of those individuals is allowed to. Talmid oisa, not everybody is anybody who wants to include himself in the bracket of being a Talmid that we just mentioned, that he can answer anywhere, that Oysa is allowed to do that. Divireb Meir, because the Yechidim had certain customs and the Talmidim had certain customs, these Talmidei Chachomim, and anybody who was not fitting to belong to that group was not allowed to join the customs of that group. Divireb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Oysa, he is allowed to, concerning fasting from the Sheni Chamishi Sheni after the 17th of Cheshvan, you're allowed to, even if you're not in that bracket. V'zochur atoy will actually be remembered positively. Why? L'fisha'in shevach huloy. It's not like a praise. It's not like he's wearing clothes that are suitable only for the very prestigious and prominent Talmidei Chachomim. Elo tzar huloy. He's just afflicting himself. He's fasting. And therefore, if somebody says, I want to join in with the Talmidei Chachomim to fast on the Monday, Thursday, Monday, after the 17th of Cheshvan, he's allowed to. Tani idoch, in a different braisa. It says, "Loi kol haroitze la'asis atzmo yochid oisa." Not everybody who wants to consider himself and to follow the customs of the individuals is allowed to. Talmid oisa, nor is a person who doesn't belong in the bracket of Talmid allowed to follow that. Divir Reb Shimon ben Elazar. We said this before in the name of Rabbi Meir, now it's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Before it was Rabbi Yossi arguing with Rabbi Meir, here it's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel arguing with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And he says, when is that true? B'davar shel shevach, something which is, causes praise, when it's the clothes that he's wearing and other conducts. Aval b'davar shel tzar, but when it comes to fasting, which is an affliction and a challenge, a pain, Oysa, he's allowed to. V'zachur la'toiv, he'll be remembered positively, she'en shevach uloi, because it's not something he's doing to ask for undeserved reward and praise, elotzar huloi, he's just with the pain of those Tamidei Chachomim for the fact that the rain has not yet fallen. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, mi shehayo mis'ane al hatzara. If somebody was fasting for a certain trouble, v'avra, and then the trouble passed, either al hachoyle, he was fasting for a sick person to become healed, v'nisrape, and he became healed, or if that person unfortunately passed away, hareza mis'ane umashlim, he should continue the fasting, he shouldn't stop fasting just because he no longer needs the salvation, because otherwise it looks as if he's making condition with Hashem, saying, I'll only fast if you do what I'm asking, and if not, then I'm not going to fast. It's inappropriate to make conditions with Hashem, and therefore you should continue fasting. If a person goes to a place where they are not yet fasting, for example, there's a certain challenge there, a certain trouble, which wasn't there, and therefore they're not fasting. And he goes to a place where in that place they are fasting, he's got to fast with them, with the chumrah, he's got to take the stringencies of the place he's arrived at. If a person goes from a place where they were fasting, to a place that they are not fasting, he's got to finish the fasts from the place that he left. We give him the chumras of the mokim sheyotza misham. So if somebody forgot that it was a fast day and he ate and drank, then al yisroeh b'fnei atzibur, you shouldn't tell the public, I've eaten, I've drunk, I'm satisfied, I'm not feeling hungry. It'll make them jealous. Va'al yanhig idun in ba'atzmoy, and him himself, even in private, he shouldn't say, since I've broken my fast by mistake, I might as well continue eating. No. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayar Yaakov ki yesh shever b'mitzrayim, Yaakov saw that there was a famine, as a hunger in Mitzrayim, Vayoyim Yaakov lebonov, and Yaakov said to his sons, Lo motisro, why should we make ourselves look, make ourselves noticeable and stick out that we have food and everybody else doesn't have food? Because indeed the Yaakov still had food. He didn't have to go down to Mitzrayim. But if they weren't going to go down to Mitzrayim to get food, it would be showing everybody that they're not part of the fast, not part of the challenge, the trouble. And there were no fasting then. It was Esav and Ishmael would see, oh, Yaakov and his sons are not suffering from the lack of food. And that was, Yaakov did not want to do that. Omar lem Yaakov lebonov, Yaakov Avinu said to his sons, Al taru atzmechem kshatem sveim, don't show everybody that you're satisfied. Because you don't want the sons of Esav to feel that they're lacking, they're hungry, and the sons of Yaakov are not. Loi b'fnei Esav, not before Esav, loi b'fnei Ishmael, nor before Ishmael, k'dei shlo iskanu b'chem, that they shouldn't be jealous of you. Continues the Gemara. The Pasuk says, he told them, don't get agitated on the way. This was actually Yosef speaking to his brothers when he sent them back to Eretz Israel, to Yaakov. On the way, don't be busy, deeply engrossed in halachic discussion. Maybe you're going to lose your way. Asks the Gemara, can that be that you're not supposed to engage in Torah learning on the way? V'omer b'loi bar brachia. Shnei Talmidei Chachomim, the Gemara in Saita, two Talmidei Chachomim shemahalchim baderech, that are going on the way. V'ein b'neim divrei Torah, they're not discussing Torah. Ru'in nisarif, they deserve to be burnt. Shenemar, and this is an apostle in Melachim. It says in the Pasuk, V'yehi heimo hoilchim holoich v'daber. They were going, it was, Eliyahu HaNavi was going together with Elisha. They were going and they were speaking. V'hinei rechev eish, there was a chariot of fire, v'susi eish, and horses of fire, v'yafridu bein shneim, and they separated between the two, v'yal elyo b'sa'ora hashamayim, and elyo ascended in a sa'ora to the heavens. So what do you see from there? that there were chariots of fire and susei eish, there was horses of fire. And why didn't they get burnt? Because the pasuk says they were holoich v'daber. There was, whilst they were walking, whilst they were going, they were speaking. Taima de'ika dibur, only because they were speaking in Torah thoughts and Torah learning. Ha leka dibur, but in the absence of Torah, ru'uya nesarif, they would have deserved to becoming burnt. So you see from there that you are supposed to learn on the way. So how could Yosef have told his brothers, don't learn on the way? Says the Gemara, Loikashi, it's not a question. Holam migras, if you're just reviewing some learning and doesn't need very deep delving into and thought, that you should do on the way. Holi yuna, but if you have to analyze deeply what you're learning, you may get lost on the way, and that you should not do. Continues the Gemara. B'masnitaton in a braisa, they learned that the words al tirgazu doesn't mean you're going to lose the way. It actually means don't, tirgazu means you shouldn't cause yourself harm on the way. What would that mean? Al tafsiu psiad gasa, don't make very broad and long steps. That's one, because we'll soon see why. V'achnisu chamo le'ir, and you should bring the sun into the city, which means that when you're going for the night and you're going to stay in a city, make sure you're there while you arrive there whilst it's still daytime. Al tafsiu psiad gasa, the reason you shouldn't take very large steps, the Omar Mar, because we learned in Maseches Brachos and in Maseches Shabbos, the psio gasa, taking very broad steps, noitel achas michome shmeis memoir einov shel adam, can remove from a person, can take away a 1/500th of his eyesight. Hachnisu, vachnisu chamo le'ir, and make sure that you should, when you come to a city, come there when it's still light. Could have you done, Marav? Whenever a person leaves a town, you should leave in kitoiv. What's kitoiv? Light. And therefore, you should only leave a city once after it's light. The first time it says kitoiv, it says vayare lekimes ha'oir, kitoiv, light is kitoiv. It's very good. Vayachnes v'ikones b'chitoiv, and when at the end of the day, you should come into a town when it's still kitoiv, when it's still light. Because, number one, if you're out when it's dark, there might be robbers and people that can hurt you. Also, if you come into a city, especially a city you don't know, a strange place, and in the dark, you might fall into the holes, into the pits that you don't recognize. And also, if you come in the dark, people might accuse you of being a spy or being a thief. Make sure you reach a town in the daytime. Shneimer, as it says in the pasuk, haboiker oyer va'anoshim shulchu heimo v'chamoyrem, that it was only after it became morning that they went on their ways. So you should always be traveling when it's light, and make sure that you leave after it becomes light and you arrive before it becomes dark. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yud, Omer of Chia, Omer of Chia, Hamahalich Baderech, if somebody is traveling on the way, Al Yoichal Yoisa Mishnei Ravoin, don't eat more than you would typically eat on during a famine. And we'll learn more about that on Daf Yud Aleph. My Tama, what would be the reason for that? There's two reasons. Hocha tirgumu here in Bovel, they explained, Mishumayona. Because if you're traveling and you're walking in travel and you have too much food in your intestines, it can cause some disorder in the digestive system. That's called mayona. But Marava Omri and Eretz Yisrael, they explained, Mishumazaina. They were just afraid that you might run out of food. So eat just a bit at a time to make sure you have enough food for your entire journey. My Benayu, where would be a difference between the two explanations? It could be Nayu to Yosef Ba'arbo. If you're traveling on a boat, you're not walking, you're sitting. So if you're worrying about your indigestion, there's no problem with that. However, if you want to make sure that you don't run out of food, make sure not to eat too much. Inami, a different difference would be the Ka'ozil Me'avno Le'avno. If he's traveling from one merchant's place to another, from one place to another, and there's a constant availability to achieve and to attain more food, and therefore, as far as the indigestion is concerned, it would be an issue. As far as running out of foods, it would not be an issue. Says the Gemara of Papa, called Parasa of a Parasa, every Parasa that Rav Papa traveled, Ochel Chodarifti, he would eat a loaf of bread. Kosova Mishum Mayona, because Rav Papa was not afraid that he would run out of, he was not afraid because he would run out of food. He actually understood, like they did in Bovel, that the issue is the indigestion. And as we know from Bab Metzia Daf Pei Daled, Rav Papa had a very broad digestive system, and therefore he himself was not concerned that because he's eating so much whilst in transit, that it would disrupt his digestive system, and therefore he could afford to eat, and for every parasol he would eat a loaf of bread.